Good morning, friends. My name's Tony, and this is my daughter, Michelle. We live up in the Santa Clarita Valley, and we attend Faith Community Church up there in Santa Clarita. We are down here sharing the gospel with the knowledge and prayerful support of our pastors and elders. We're here to share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to begin by reading out of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. God's word tells us this. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word, the word of God. My friends, there is only one God. There is only one Creator. And it's not up to us to decide who He is or what He looks like or what He does. He has revealed Himself in His creation. We can look at the world around us and we can clearly see that there is a Creator, that there is a designer. Because we see the intricacy of the design of the world around us. My friends, if I were to ask you, how do you know that this metro station was built, having never seen the construction? You would simply look at it and say, well, it's obvious someone built it. It's obvious that someone didn't, or that the paint and the stucco and the concrete and the metal and the glass didn't just evolve over millions of years to form the NoHo metro station. That would be ridiculous to think that way. Because of the design of the building and the way the materials are put together, it's obvious that there was a builder for this building. If you were to go to the Louvre in France and look at the Mona Lisa, one of the most famous paintings, one of the most famous smiles of all time, and someone stood next to you while you were looking at that breathtaking piece of artwork and said, wow, isn't it amazing how that painting evolved over millions of years? You would look at that person like they're crazy. There's no way that the paint just threw itself up on the canvas and over millions of years formed the most famous smile in the world. That would be a ridiculous notion. All you have to do is look at the design of the painting to know that there is or was a painter. And the same is true with the world around us. Look in the mirror, my friend, and you will see that there is a creator. The intricacy of the design of your own body testifies to a designer. You were not made out of some primordial ooze. You were not started in some cosmic soup over time. You are not the product of evolution. You are not the product of random chance. You were designed by a designer. And there is only one, and that is Almighty God. God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens are His throne, and the earth is His footstool. Everything that has been made was made by Him. He alone is the creator of the universe. If you ask a scientist who believes in evolution or disbelieves, doesn't believe in God, if you were to ask a scientist if they can create anything, if they're honest with you, they will say no. No scientist who has ever lived, who is living now, and whoever will live, will be able to create something out of nothing. Something as simple as a blade of grass. They would need some materials in order to create that blade of grass. But if they are using materials that are already existing, they are not creating, they are recreating, they are replicating. Now, in order to create anything, you have to be able to start from nothing. And the very first verse of the Bible testifies to that truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. With the Word, He brought all of life into existence. And my friends, that is the God that each and every one of us will one day stand before to give an account for our life. Many people think, though, that if they can create a religious system, create a house of worship, build something in their mind, that they somehow can appease the God that they've created in their own imagination. That's why we have religions, my friends. That's why there are so many different religions in the world. Man, who was created in the image of God, seeks to recreate God in the image of man. And they do that through religion, through building systems and different houses of worship and different rules and regulations. All of it is an attempt for man to put God in the box. All of it is an attempt for man to create a God of his own liking, because he doesn't want to submit to the one true God that he already knows exists. Oftentimes, when someone speaks about Jesus Christ and Him being God in the flesh and that there is only one God, they sometimes make the argument, you're putting God in a box. There's got to be many ways to God. Well, no, it's the person who insists that there are actually many true religions that is putting God in a box. And it's the box of their imagination. It's the box that wants to force God to fit into their system of belief, so that they will be more comfortable with their sin. My friends, that's idolatry. That is, by definition, idolatry. Creating a God in your imagination to suit yourself, and then bowing down to worship Him. So the Word of God says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my words. So, my friend, the one true God, the Creator God, the God of heaven and earth, does not look down upon the religions of men and is well pleased. He ignores them, and then He will one day judge them. No, my friends, He does not look at the worship of Islam as if it's a good thing. No, my friends, He ignores the religion until the day of judgment, when He will in fact judge them for their sin of idolatry. The same is true about Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and the God of Oprah and any other religion you want to think of created by man. God is the Creator of all things. God has created man in His own image, but yet man, out of love for his own sin and his own pride and his own arrogance and his own desire to be God, instead of worshiping the God who created him in his own image, man creates a God in his image and worships it. And that is idolatry. And that is blasphemy. So who is it that God sees? Who is it that God would look upon with favor? It is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. That's what God has said. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. The Word of God says that it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And the exact opposite is true. It is the disbelief in God that is the beginning of foolishness. The Word of God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and having no fear of the Lord is the beginning of foolishness. Opposite sides of a coin. So who is it that God looks upon? Who is it that God sees? Who is it that God hears? But the one who is humble and contrite and trembles at His word. My friends, if you say you have no fear of God, then you do not know God. You do not know God. If you say that you have no fear of God, the one with the, who with the word created the heavens and the earth, who created you and me, who is above and over all things, who answers to no one, and to whom we will all day one day give an account. If you say you have no fear of God, you are not wise, according to the Bible. You are a fool, according to the Bible, according to God's word. God opposes the proud. God is against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And the one who is humble and contrite is the one who fears the truth of God's word. And what God says about himself and what God says about us, his creation. God says about us that we have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. God says about us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God says of us, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God says of us that professing to be wise, we become fools when we, instead of worshiping the one true creator God, we worship creation instead. God says of us that it's appointed once for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. God says of us that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. God says about us that no liar, no thief, no fornicator, no blasphemer, no effeminate, no homosexual will enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is what God says about us. And that is the God we will one day stand before to give an account for our life. God says about us that if we try to keep the whole law, but yet stumble in one point, we are guilty of all of it. God says about us that we are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now granted, my friends, I would be the first to admit that I fall very short of that standard. But God does not lower his standard simply because we're unable to live up to it. I mean, think about it, my friends. You stand before a judge in a courtroom, and you're found guilty of stealing a car. And the judge asks you, what is your defense? What do you have to say for yourself? And you say, Your Honor, I couldn't help myself. I just had to steal that car. So I think I'm innocent, because I just couldn't help it. Or, well, Your Honor, I think I'm innocent because a lot of people steal cars. And in fact, a lot of people haven't been caught. I was just unfortunate to get caught. So I think I'm innocent because I got caught. What's the judge going to do with that person? Bye-bye. You're going to jail. Those are foolish arguments. Here's one that's even more foolish. The person who goes in before the judge admits to their guilt, and the judge says, I sentence you to this, that, or the other. And the person looks at the judge and says, well, Your Honor, wait a minute. I don't believe you're the judge. I don't believe the jury found me guilty. And I don't believe I'm going to jail. In fact, I believe I'm free to go. And you start to make your way to the courtroom door. How close to the door do you get before the bailiff tackles you and carts you off the lockup? Didn't matter for a second what you believed about the judge or what you believed about the law. What mattered is what the judge believed about you. And the same is true when you stand before the Creator God, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who made you. The same is true when you stand before him. If he finds you guilty of breaking his law, of sinning against him in any way, in thought, word, or deed, it doesn't matter for a second what you think about God. It doesn't matter whether you think it's fair. It doesn't matter whether you think he's nice. It doesn't matter whether you click your heels together and say, there's no place like home and I don't believe in God. None of that matters. What matters is what God, the judge of the universe, thinks about you. And my friends, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, and God alone is good. And because he is those things and more, he must punish sin. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin, whether we like it or not or believe it or not, is utterly irrelevant. The punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. Now, I don't share that with you because that's what I want for any of you. I don't want that for any of you. That's why I'm sharing this with you. I don't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. And if I care about you as human beings, I'm going to warn you about the wrath to come, hoping that you will come to your senses. The reason I'm here is because I want to share with you the only way of escape from that just and holy wrath. Not by being a good person. It's not by being religious. It's not by going to church on Sunday and living like hell Monday through Saturday. That's hypocrisy. My friends, going to church on Sunday makes you no more right with God than going up the street to In-N-Out makes you a double-double. Just because you go to a hamburger stand, it doesn't make you a hamburger. And just because you go to a church, doesn't make you right with God. No, my friends, God has provided a way, and only one way, for you to be made right with God. For you to receive forgiveness of your sins. For you to receive eternal life with Him in heaven. And it's not on the basis of anything you have done, but based entirely on His mercy. God gave Himself. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you, most certainly unlike me, He never once sinned against God in thought, word, or deed. He could not. He was and He is the sinless Lamb of God. God in the flesh who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived a perfect sinless life that none of us could ever hope to live. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death He did not deserve to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. And unlike the gods of every religion made by man, which are all dead, imaginary gods, Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive today, and He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. When He came the first time, again, He came, and He said, I have not come to judge the world, but that the world may be saved through Me. He came in the most humble of circumstances, born of a poor teenage girl in a cave filled with dirty animals, surrounded by dirty hay, and being laid for the first time outside of His mother's womb in a feeding trough. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's how He first came. But when He comes again, my friends, and He will, He will not come as a nameless, unknown child in a dirty manger. He will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. And the blood of His enemies will drench the hem of His robe. So my friends, that is the God you're going to stand before. But God, being gracious and merciful and kind, provided a way for those who are humble and contrite, provided a way for those who fear the Word of God, providing a way for those who have a right understanding of who God is and a right fear of God. He provided a way for those to be saved from the punishment of their sins. Let's go back to the courtroom for a moment. You've tried everything to get out of the bind you're in. You tried the, hey, I'm a good person, I think you should let me go. Hey, other people have broken the law, I think you should let me go. Hey, I don't believe you exist, therefore I believe I'm free. None of those things work. And so the judge sentences you for your crime to death. And just before the judge takes you away to have the needle driven through your arm, or the cyanide tablet to put through the tube, he says, wait. He takes off his robe, he steps down from his bench, and he says, I will go in this person's place. Kill me. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. God the Father made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that through him we might receive the righteousness of God. We are guilty of breaking God's law. Jesus Christ literally paid our fine in his life's blood. He took upon himself the punishment we deserve for our sins against him. Jesus said before he went to the cross, greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. And my friends, if you do not see what I'm sharing with you as a loving message, then you do not understand who God is. You do not know who God is. For greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. But Jesus Christ not only laid down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies. While he's hanging there on the cross, mutilated to the point that he was not recognizable as human, he cried out to the Father, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He didn't holler down judgment upon them, which would have been his right. He asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. He not only died for his friends, but he died for his enemies. And my friends, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, an enemy of God you are. So I plead with you to come to your senses. You don't need me to preach to you that God exists. You already know that. God has written the reality of his existence on your heart. You don't need me to preach to you that you have fallen short of God's glory and sinned against him. God has given you a conscience. You already know that in your heart. So do not harden your heart this day. Come to the Lord, humble and contrite. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. What each and every one of us deserve for our sins against God is his righteous fury and judgment and eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. What we do not deserve is grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, everlasting life. But yet for those who humble themselves before God and turn from their sins and put their trust in Christ alone for their salvation, it is grace and mercy that he promises to give you. Some people think they're good enough to get to heaven. They're delusional. I used to think I was good enough to go to heaven. I was delusional. Because I have sinned more times than I can count in thought, word, and deed against God throughout my life. I'm not a good person according to God's standard. God and God alone is good. But on the flip side of that...
What? Why are you still trying to steal the life of Jesus?
Steal the life? Really? Why are you cursing like that? Act like a lady.
Why are you trying to steal the life of Jesus?
I'm not trying to steal anybody's life.
Anything. Then I'd be a clown like you.
Why are you so judgmental?
Because I'm judgmental.
You're judging me right now. You're calling me a clown. You're calling me names.
You're not a clown.
I don't believe I'm a clown. I don't have anything on my nose. I'm not wearing a funny hat.
You're
Why are you so judgmental?
I'm not judging you at all. I'm
really?
Observing you. You're standing up, dressed like a clown, talking nothing about.
How do you know I don't know anything about this?
Because I can see you.
You can see me?
Yes.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but you're confused.
You're confused if you call me ma'am.
Ma'am?
I'm the light inside the body there, honey. I thought you were
you're a
light.
What, you're a light?
Wait, aren't you a
aren't you a woman?
Aren't you supposed to share your light if you're a light?
I'm sharing the gospel. You interrupted
honey,
me. I'm not your honey. I'm married.
If you think
I'm not your honey.
I'm a woman?
You're not a woman?
Not enlightened at
I'm
all.
Sorry. Are you a man?
No, I am the light inside.
Oh, she's not a man. She's not a woman. She's a light. Conversation over.
Exactly.
Even the Bible says that Satan will appear as an angel of light. And there she goes.
Thank
and there she goes.
Lucifer is
your name?
Yes.
See, she is an enemy of God. She is an enemy of God, but I don't want her to go to hell. I don't want her to perish in her sin. My hope for her, as confused and as lost as she is that she will turn from her sin and put her trust in Jesus Christ. That's my hope for her. But this is the world we live in, my friend. We live in a world.
Everything's already perfect there for you. If you hope for anything, you directly disrespect Jesus.
Ma'am, you're not speaking for Jesus. You're speaking for Satan. You're not speaking for Jesus.
I speak for myself.
Well, if you speak for yourself, you don't speak for God.
Everything's already perfect. Then you're not very enlightened, are you?
Does anyone here agree that the world is perfect? She's asserting the world is perfect.
No, I said Jesus says that.
All right, God bless you. Have a good day, man. Thank you for coming by. God bless you.
Automatically, right?
All right, so let's not let her distract us, my friend. No matter what she says, we are all going to die and stand before God one day, and we are going to give an account for our life. And my hope for you is the same as the hope for her, is that you will turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. My friend, if you deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are, by definition, as foolish as she is. You're creating a God in your own imagination to suit yourself. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for her. My heart breaks for her, my friend. My heart breaks for her. So I encourage you, I implore you to turn to Christ and live. Turn to Jesus Christ and live. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you turn to Him, if you humble yourself, if you come before Him contrite, He will forgive your sins. He will forgive you. And He will grant you the gift of everlasting life. It is a gift that only He can give. I can't give it to you. No religion can give it to you. Only God can give it to you. And God has extended His grace to you today by allowing you to hear His gospel today. And so I pray that you would humble yourself before Him. Soften your heart before God and receive His love and His forgiveness and mercy while God has given you time. We have Bibles. We have a few left in Spanish. We have others in English. They're free. We don't want to sign you up for anything. If you would like help finding a good Bible-believing church, we'll try to point you one. But please, don't claim to be open-minded while refusing to open the book. Don't claim to be open-minded while yet refusing to open the book. Humble yourself, open the Bible, and see if what you're hearing today is true. And thank you for listening.